Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
And we're back with another episode of Blind Level Tech. I'm, of course, your host, Evan Starnes, joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Evan, how you doing, man?
Dude, I honestly, like, as you guys are listening to this, I am actually in Utah. A buddy of mine, we're renting a Tesla. I know, crazy.
Are you driving the Tesla? Hold on. Let's get some clarification here. You're renting a Tesla. So a buddy...
I'm not renting it.
Wait. But you said you and your buddy are renting. So who's actually on the paperwork?
Well, my friend's on the paperwork. If I was on the paperwork, we'd have some... I don't know. It'd be weird. Like, first blind Tesla driver. They do have some safety features, though, and it's more possible than it used to be, but we're not quite at self-driving yet. But I'll definitely share more about my experiences with that car, as I've been wanting to play with a Tesla for a while. And I know there, as a blind or anybody who's blind or low vision, especially, if you don't drive or whatever, it's like, oh, well, that's cool, I guess. But I've been interested to see what it's like to use like the passenger features of a Tesla from a blindness perspective, if it's even possible. Probably not, but you'll hear more about that, in a future episode. But Kelvin, man, how is your week, and how is your weekend?
Well, my weekend, I'm being a bachelor, like foster kid, and my wife went up to Northern Cal to go to Rayfolf Lodge and be with her family, and I'm just working 16-20 hour days, and I'm loving it. So
nice.
Like almost every day I'm making a new show, or like I'm getting new guests on my radio show, and it's just like, yeah. And then there's a possibility that I might get a morning radio show, so we'll see how that turns out. One day
don't work too hard, man. Holy crap.
And so it is really, really cool what's going on, and I'm just super excited and super blessed. And yes, there have been some tough things in the last few weeks, but at the same time, when you find joy in the hard things, you are able to take those hard things and turn them to great hope and really overcome challenges. And I just want to be an encouragement to all of you guys today. If you're going through something tough, just take a deep breath, go through that situation, and say, how can I have joy today? Because truly, that is truly how we overcome any barrier and any situation. So that was my rant. And but absolutely. Evan, I'm excited about my tech piece of the week. So what is yours?
Well, my tech piece of the week is something that I have talked about, surprise, surprise, many, many episodes ago, but I have been using it. So Jonathan was out, last week, and, we needed to do a BLT. So last week's episode, I actually, that was the first one I did and produced and all that. And I used my favorite wireless headset, the Corsair HS80s, and I've already talked about them before. In fact, a listener of ours always reminds me, like, man, I'm using that headset that you recommended or whatever. And yeah, it's a really nice gaming headset. It's got you know, if you have low vision, it does have like RGB lights. But what's cool about it is that when you're transmitting audio, it just sounds, it's the clearest sounding wireless headset I've ever heard. Most of them compress the audio down to a very low like quality. I don't want to get super technical here, but this one does not. And the battery life is decent. Unfortunately, the Corsair software that you use to control like parts of the headset, like RGB, isn't accessible, but it's totally not needed. But that is my tech piece of the week. But what is your tech piece of the week?
Mine is what I am talking to you guys through. And I tell you, when I learned about this, I was like, yes, this is the solution. And I record all of my See Me Cane shows through this. That is the X2U. So X as an X-ray, 2 as in the number 2, and U as umbrella. And it's made by Shure. And basically, it's an adapter that goes between my Shure, well, any XLR mic, to a USB-C, and then into your computer. And then you download the Shure Mix app, I think is what it is. And
yeah, sounds about right.
And so you get... download that. You can go in and get a dark mode, or you can get a high mode, or you can get a medium mode, and then there's all these other settings in there. And I tell you, I am a big fan of this little, it's about the size of
a thumb drive, right?
No, it's a little bit bigger, and it's the shape of like a lipstick. Don't ask me how I know what lipstick feels like.
You are married.
Well, she doesn't wear makeup.
That was a very subjective thing to say, but anyway. Those things are awesome, though, because when it comes to microphones, particularly ones that don't use USB, that use XLR, and XLR, for those who don't know, it's basically that if you've ever seen on the end of a mic where it plugs in that little like 3-pin connector, that's called an XLR connector. And so usually you'd plug that cable into something like a mixing board, an amp, or an audio interface that you'd plug into your computer. But this basically is that little audio interface in a little thing the size of a lipstick. And you just you plug it into your mic, and it converts your mic into a USB powered mic, which I'm an audio guy. How the heck did I not know about this? This is awesome.
And this is the new one that they came out. It's probably one of the best on the market. There are others. I plan to get a couple others to see if they meet the standard. But
because you also got to play around too. You know, they're audio toys. You got to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I just love it because it solves so many problems for me. And
absolutely,
and like when I'm traveling. I don't have to worry about, I can just bring my XLR, have good audio, be in a noisy environment. Like right now I have the fan on and you can't hear it for one bit because I'm sweating. I don't want to be sweating while we're doing this recording, but I have a good mic with an XLR into the USB-C, and yeah, I am a happy camper.
Right on. Well, in today's episode, we are going to be diving into the vast and massive world of operating systems.
Not operations. We're not doing any operations here, people.
No, we're not playing operation either. No bzzz or any of that.
That was a shock, Evan. Oh, man.
But we're going to talk about the accessibility differences between everything from Windows, macOS, Linux, Chrome OS, and also mobile operating systems, because we haven't really done that. We've talked about, you know, the good and the bad of iOS versus Android like way back in the beginning, but we haven't really just done an operating system deep dive yet in a while. So that's what we're going to do here. And I figured we'd first start things off with, of course, good old Windows.
I mean, I tell you, I feel like the Windows system is I grew up on it. I breathed it. I even remember when Windows 1995 was out.
Windows 95. Oh my gosh.
Were you even born yet, Evan?
Nope, but I did have a computer that ran Windows 95. didn't have a screen reader on it, but it was one heck of a computer.
Yeah. And I tell you, the game that I love playing, and I don't remember what it's called.
Pinball.
No, not pinball.
Pinball.
This game was legit. You got one of the big floppy discs. The big ones, not the small ones.
Yeah.
And you put it in the computer, and then you hear that. And then it comes up, and then you got your little green haired man that looks like a Oompa Loompa guy, but really tiny. Mm-hmm. And then you got to have your Oompa Loompa guys do all these different things. And it was an amazing game.
It wasn't Lemmings. What the heck was that game? Well, I don't remember. Either way, when it comes to Windows, to be honest, and I'm sure a lot of you know this, Windows is pretty much like the industry standard. If you're, if you've just lost your vision, you're just getting into, using a computer with assistive technology, a screen reader, magnification program, whatever it might be, and you're not like an Apple user, most likely you're going to be recommended to use Windows, and that is most likely what you're going to start with.
So let's get into some politics here, because honestly, the politics behind this is, what state are you in? Two, the other thing is who, what agency are you working with? And three, I'm going to be straight here, because we need to have this conversation, because like here in California, they're starting to drive more and more Macs, not really? So much more and more Windows. And so this is where the standard across different states is changing, like Louisiana. Like, they're doing some unique stuff over there. And so this is where the standard is starting to get really, really messy compared to what it used to be.
Right.
And so I think that's where, as what we talk about today, we need to keep our mind kind of speak for Colorado and California.
In your case, San Diego. I can only speak for Colorado, and even then, I'm not even thinking about like VR services getting you tech trained. Like, really, what we're talking about is like what you've got available to you with Windows, and honestly, it's probably from my experiences, and other people might have a different opinion than I, which is totally okay. That's what they're for. But Windows is probably the easiest operating system to get into if you as a computer user. And when it comes to assistive technologies, I mean, you have many, many different options for like screen readers. You've got anything from JAWS to NVDA, and Narrator's getting better and better. I've actually been able to use it. It's not perfect, but it's I don't even want to say miles, kilometers ahead. we'll convert units here of where it was. So even that is feasible. The entire setup process from the get-go, and this was new as of Windows 10 a few years ago, but the entire setup process when you're setting up Windows is accessible, and so you can fire up Narrator from the start, and it'll allow you to set up your PC and then get whatever services you want installed. As far as magnification, you've got the Windows magnifier, you've got Zoom Text, Fusion, which is JAWS and Zoom Text combined. You've got, I don't use these things, so I'm not as much of an expert on these magnification tools, but you've got a variety to pick from. And then also
Dolphin, you got
Dolphin, yes.
So I mean, a Dolphin, I don't know if you knew this, but Dolphin, they literally start from scratch, like literally threw their software out and started all over. And it turned out to be a really nice combination screen reader magnification system for people that need something really simple.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice. I have played around with Dolphin's products in the past, and I've had pretty good experiences. They're not as widely used nowadays as products like Jaws, but they're still out there. And now, of course, the other important thing when it comes to particularly screen readers and assistive technology with Windows sometimes is the cost, because not all of these services are free. NVDK, of course, is free and open source, which means it's publicly, you know, just available. But, you know, but Jaws,
do donate. Give them $5 because that helps. I do,
yeah. Seriously, please consider, like, donating to that project too, because yeah, they're
it's built by a blind individual, like
that too.
The two founders, like, were both visually impaired.
They're both blind, and they just wanted to do to make a solution that worked and that didn't cost the user any extra. Because Jaws, on the other hand, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible program. I mean, not only just the fact of what it can do as a screen reader for you when you're using your computer, but the way it integrates with other programs like Microsoft Word or even some like scientific programs. It does a really good job with that. And you know, you've got Picture Smart AI now and stuff like that. Besides the cost with Windows, there's a lot more programs out there. There's games. There's like, if you want to get into gaming, there's loads, like pretty much, I'd venture to say about 98% of computer audio games are on Windows. And so it's super easy to get software for. Now, of course, Microsoft is kind of doing some stuff that we're not, you know, that we aren't the most happy with. You know, there's been some backlash around like their Copilot Plus PCs and their and Microsoft Recall, which is a part of Copilot, and just some other stuff. But Kelvin, do you see yourself sticking with Windows?
Oh yeah, I mean. Given I'm getting more and more into broadcasting and having to do more and more live streaming and stuff, I'm like, there is some risk in Windows world, but I feel like I bought enough RAM, I bought enough big enough fan and cooling system. I feel like it can handle it. But
again, I'm glad you brought that up actually too.
Yeah, because my system right now I'm running is almost. It's north of $3,000. And I'm running it all through a laptop. So it's one of those things where if you're going to do crazy stuff like I do, and do you need to put the money into your Windows device? I mean, and really get it to work. The reason why I haven't really gone to the Mac ecosystem is the learning curve. And yes, I mean, I use an iPhone and all that stuff, but it's one of those things. You got to do what you think best for yourself. And
yeah.
And the question is, do you have time to learn that at the moment? For me, I'm running two businesses.
You're running two shows.
Well, I'm running now.
Three shows, two businesses.
Yep.
Bunch of stuff.
And so it's one of those things. It's like, all right. I got to weigh out my options, and I don't really have time to learn something new at the moment. So that's where it's like, all right, if we can, I invested the money in the computer so that way I didn't have to do that. And
absolutely.
And the other thing is I know how to script with NVDA. So that's where I can problem shoot my own issues if I run into issues. So then I just script out what I need on Python, and then we're good to go. So there's some benefits to having freedom to do. Granted, this is a really nerdy way to do things, but if you have the skills and you have the knowledge and you have the ability, you're better off just being able to work with what you got rather than jumping onto another cart.
Platform.
So, yeah.
I'm really glad though you brought up the concept of hardware though, because with Windows, I mean, there are hundreds of different devices that can run it. So it really, what I'd recommend if you've never used Windows, or if you know, if you're getting yourself a new computer, is really figure out what you want from your computer. What do you want your computer to do? Do you want it? Is it something that, you know, is it a powerhouse that you want to drag around, or is it some big gaming desktop that you want to custom build yourself? And the other thing to keep in mind too is you can either get your computer pre-built, which is what the vast majority of users do, or if you want to get nitty-gritty, you can have your own, you can build your own computer yourself. Now, laptops too, that's more common with desktops. Laptops, there are companies that will allow you to custom build a laptop. But of course, the other thing too with the pre-built desktop, so if you want to go buy a computer from HP or Dell or my favorite, Lenovo, these machines come with bloatware. Most of it you don't want. Most of it you don't need. A lot of it you got to uninstall. That could be anything from, unfortunately, a lot of computers come with McAfee antivirus. Mm-hmm. From a personal standpoint, I don't recommend the use of it because it's completely inaccessible and it's not a great program.
You don't need, now with Windows, security does the job and it's more up to date. And exactly. Windows is going to fix the things already on their system. So that's right. Where if you practice good computer behavior, good link understanding,
internet safety
and all that stuff, and you practice that, then yeah, Windows
fine.
Defender will do just fine.
Just fine. And it's free and it comes with your computer. And the reason I'm harping on McAfee the way I do is, of course, that their installer is not entirely accessible when it comes to removing their programs. So so when you get a new laptop, there might be some extra setup that you have to do. But at the same time, it's a great platform. Now, I use Windows as well for work, for gaming, but I also use the heck out of my Mac for audio work. And actually, the Mac is still recommended to any newbie getting into audio production, video production, though you can on Windows. But let's transition to Mac, because the Mac is a little bit more simplified as far as what you've got available to you. Mm-hmm. And but it also does have, you know, its pluses and minuses. So what do you know on the Mac, Kelvin, that that you've got for like accessibility tools? Obviously, you know, there's VoiceOver.
Yeah. So I mean, I think for me, the last time I worked on a full-blown Mac was, oh, I want to say 2019. Yeah,
when I still went, recent enough though.
Yeah, so but from my perspective, it's that brain twist. Oh, I got to do this now to do this, but I do like now that they've incorporated more and more finger gestures on the mouse pad for VoiceOver, so that way you can translate your cell phone techniques to the Mac, so that way you can still do certain things similar. So it's not such a big brain transition.
Right.
The other thing is the magnifier, it's a great quality magnifier. And
yes.
And the other thing now with the speech
mouse to text that they've come out with.
And speech to text. And then they also have the mouse hover now.
It'll speak the item under your mouse pointer. Yeah.
So that's always, because that's one of my biggest things that I use a lot is mouse hover. Because I just have a big giant mouse and then I see some white thing on there. Let's see if it's text or image or whatever. I just hover over, or then I hit the shortcuts for the screen reader. But that is one thing. And then the other thing that's really interesting that was, what I really like about the Mac side of things, it's all there.
Yup.
You don't need to stress on anything else.
Don't need to download stuff. Don't need to fiddle fart around with different programs. It's just right at your fingertips.
Yep.
In fact, The Mac is another computer that has been accessible from setup. So you know, if you get your Mac for the first time, it'll even tell you, you know, like Mac OS has a screen reader called VoiceOver. To turn it on, press Command F5 or whatever. It says something like that. And yeah, you can fire up VoiceOver and completely set up your Mac. And even if you have to go into something like the recovery menu, so like if your computer just doesn't start up anymore or whatever, if you need to do something nitty gritty, the recovery menu is VoiceOver driven as well, which is super neat. Made it really, like when I made it easy for me to fix, I got this old MacBook Air 2011. A while ago, and it didn't have macOS fully installed on it, but I was able to access the recovery menu and get that machine up and running. But yeah, everything's there. VoiceOver on the Mac, if you've used VoiceOver on the iPhone for a number of years, this is a little bit different. There are a lot more keyboard commands to it, and it really kind of allows you to explore like the around the screen as opposed to just tabbing, shift tabbing, and using shortcuts, though you can do that. So yeah, there's a lot more going with it, I guess. And yep. But the other thing that I really wanted to emphasize, and I didn't really emphasize this much with Windows, is speech and the abundance of speech synthesizers that you can pick from on the Mac. Because when you start, if you use Windows and you fire up Narrator, you have the pretty much your only option, you know, by default is the Microsoft voices, you know, and those are like the Microsoft David or Zira or Microsoft Mark. Though now with Windows 11, it does allow you to install what are called neural voices, which are much higher quality. But you don't have a whole lot of options by default when it comes to text-to-speech. You kind of have to go download something else like Eloquence or whatever. But the Mac comes with not only Eloquence, which is like the JAWS voice. It's that kind of computer-sounding voice I've talked about before. But you also get, you know, all the voices by Vocalizer. So you get all the voices on the iPhone. So you get like Tom and Ava and Daniel, and yeah, but you also get the Mac and Talk voices, which are some of those are like the novelty singing voices. I don't know. You have a lot of options to pick from. Let's just say that. And you'd also mentioned, Kelvin, their text or their speech to text and Dictate. Yep. Really, it's been around for a long time on the Mac, but it's just gotten a lot better, and it's got a really nice just global shortcut that works pretty much anywhere you are on the computer. You just double click I think you can configure it, but mine's set to the control key and it'll start dictating. Yeah. So
when I think
a little bit more seamless.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is why so many visual impaired people go to the Mac, because it's just a lot simpler. It's a lot easier. And I'll be honest, it's why so many different, like people that I talk to going into college, a lot of them and they're visually impaired, they're saying, I just want a Mac. I don't want a Windows.
I don't want to mess around with anything.
Yeah. And so that's why I brought up the politics side of it, because the especially if you're younger, and the other thing to think about is thinking about your operating system. Is with a Mac, a lot of times you can go right into a company and then almost pretend like you don't even have a disability.
Yeah, you don't have to install anything. You just fire up VoiceOver, boom. You just use the computer straight away. And unless they've installed some crazy like software on their computer that changes like the way the desktop functions or whatever, you'll be fine. And as opposed to Windows, where you might have to, you could scrape by with Narrator pretty easily, but you might have to install things like NVDA or whatever.
And I think this is some stuff that you gotta have to weigh out your options here. What are you trying to get accomplished? Because at the end of the day, what you weigh out on what your computer is going to be, and then you kind of weigh out those options. Because once you weigh those options out, then you definitely got to invest the money into it and then put all your energy into it to get it to work the way you need it to work to make you successful. Because I think that's the key thing here, is that each operating system has its pros and cons. And based off of what you're doing, what do you need it to do? Because if you need to do stuff like coding and you want a good braille display, you want good details and all of your information.
Probably Windows.
You're going to want to go Windows. But if you want to do like
Music production, working with Logic or videos.
And so, yes, you can code and so forth on Windows, but it's not necessarily, you're going to run into some hurdles in some of your code stuff that you're going to work with. So, and the other thing is, if you want to be able to make things accessible to you, like different platforms, you can't do that on the Mac. You have to do that. You can only do that through JAWS and NVDA, and you can't even do that with Narrator. They don't allow you to do that there. So
no, they don't have Weather add-ons. So if you wanted to have like a program that wasn't accessible and either write or install an add-on with to your screen reader that makes that program accessible, mm-hmm. VoiceOver does not allow you to do that. They do have scripting though. You can write an Apple script and it will allow you to do things with VoiceOver.
Well, I've never written Apple script, so that's I'm like, oh, that's a whole other thing you got to learn. So, yeah,
it's
so
cool though.
Yeah. So I mean, truly, weigh out your options and decide what is best. But there is one thing that we haven't talked about on a computer front is
Linux.
Chrome OS. Is it even worth our time?
Chrome OS. Oh my. Yeah, Chrome OS. Well. So Chrome OS, if you're a student, if you go to any public school, and if you've been to, public school within the past few years, odds are you've probably held a Chromebook, used a Chromebook, or experienced Chrome OS in some way, shape, or form. And Chrome OS is accessible, but it is a very basic bare bones operating system. So what I would say if you want to do a lot, if you do a lot of work in like Google Docs, Google Drive, all of the they don't call it G Suite anymore. They have a new name for it. I think I heard they switched it.
Google Workspace.
Yeah, if you're a Google Workspace user, all that stuff is already there at your fingertips. And you can even set up like shortcuts. Now, Chrome OS, similar to VoiceOver or similar to Mac OS, does have a screen reader built in called ChromeVox. And ChromeVox, it's kind of quirky from my experiences. I've been able to get by. I actually, I used a Chromebook in high school for over a year, and I did just fine. But like VoiceOver, there are a lot more shortcuts to kind of learn, and they're not, they're a little more clunky than like JAWS or NVDA, but they are there. You can navigate around websites, but other than that, like if you wanted to do, something like audio production or whatever, I can't recommend the Chromebook. And as far as magnifier support too, you do have a good magnifier built in, and it is solid from what I've heard from other people that have used it. It is a solid magnifier. And the big, pun intended, selling point of these Chromebooks is the fact that they are very cost effective. You can nab one of these bad boys for like $200.
Yeah. The thing, I did a beta test on some stuff this in March at CSUN, and what was interesting is, like, I've never really touched the Chromebook ever. I've always been either Windows or Mac, and what was interesting is I definitely got my fingers exercised. Like, it was a lot more exercise than with my fingers. A lot of times you almost had to hold three buttons down and then do an action key. Or you had to make sure you memorize, I go this step, this step, this step to make one action, or it just seemed like there were so many different steps to get one thing accomplished. And so that was my main thing. But again, the beauty of Chrome OS, though, is you can do a power wash on it and it'll be like
brand new. In fact, that's its feature. It actually has in the Chrome OS settings a feature called power wash, and it just wipes everything. Your Chromebook is stock, like you got it, like you just picked it up from the store. And the other cool thing, if you want to get real nitty gritty here, is that Chrome OS is a very, very light operating system, meaning it can run on some very, very low quality hardware. So if you've got an old laptop or something kicking up dust and you just want to give it a new lease on life, it is possible to install Chrome OS to a thumb drive and install that onto a computer. And you could, you could make your own custom Chromebook if you wanted to. Well, now, if we're getting that nerdy... Oh, we totally are.
Maybe we go get some raspberry pie.
Yeah, maybe we should. And maybe we should actually talk about something that you could run on the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, so just a FYI, everybody. We're talking about a really tiny...
$30 computer.
$35, and it's about the size of a...
Credit card, really.
Or a little bit bigger. It's a more like playing cards.
Yeah, that's a better comparison.
It has four USBs, it has a HDMI on it, it has
Ethernet, audio.
Yep, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and
teeny tiny little baby computer for $40. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at Micro Center, and there's just, I mean, they're everywhere. People use them as it's a hobby computer.
That is how we built our first smart guider.
Cool. It was a Pi based smart guider.
So we ramped up the RAM because it is 1 gigabyte of RAM. So the operating system you would work on that
most likely run is Linux.
Oh yeah, it would be like, well, you'll use Rabian. There is a Windows version. There is a Chrome OS version. There's so many different versions that you can install on it. But again, like you were talking about, you got to put it on an SD card and then boot it up. And so you have it run. And so this is a lot more complicated than
this just is nitty
going
gritty.
To get a computer at the store.
But let's specifically focus on Linux, which is one of the operating systems that you can run on the Raspberry Pi and a lot of other computers.
Yep.
And the reason we're bringing it up today is I have also just kind of on Mastodon and just in this blindness community, I have seen an increased interest in it over time, probably just due to Microsoft's shenanigans. But Linux does have some accessibility tools, maybe built in depending on where you go. And so the thing about Linux, I'll just do a quick compare and contrast. You know, with Windows, you have Windows 11, Windows 10, Windows 8.1. You know how you have all that, and then Mac OS. You know, you've just got all. You know, you've just got Mac OS versions. You know, anything from the latest one that's coming out, Sequoia, I believe.
Oh yeah.
You know, you've pretty much just got Mac OS Sequoia, Big Sur, all that stuff. But Linux, because Linux is, I'm going to use this word again, open sourced. That means that there are a whole metric load of different versions of it. They're called distros or distributions of it out there. I'll name a few. The most popular one that you'll probably heard of is Ubuntu, but there are other ones like Debian and KDE. And now some of these are also just based off of other environments, like KDE, I believe, really is kind of Ubuntu under the hood. And really what you're dealing with is the desktop environment, and that is just like where you go to navigate through your files or select a program. It's pretty much that whole interface. And Kelvin, you'd mentioned Raspbian. Raspbian is, if you get a Pi and if you're first starting out on the Pi, is most likely what you're going to be starting out with.
Yep.
And now the thing to consider with Linux, though, is that not all of these distributions are entirely accessible. In fact, none of them are 100% like accessible from the start.
Yep. And the other thing that you're going to really need to know when you get into this, and then this is what I had to learn when I was building the Smart Guider, was learning how to install all of this stuff on there without a screen reader. And so, because you need to get the screen reader in, which is, what do you call
it? Orca Otter. Is what it is.
Yeah, and then you got Otter, and then you got, oh, I think it's Talk.
Alsa. You know, yeah. And Alsa basically just handles any audio from your computer.
Yep. And so, basically, the idea is you gotta be really comfortable with sound navigation. So not voice navigation, but sound navigation. So like ding dong, ding dong, boom, bing, bing,
click, bing, pops, bing. And clicks, yep. And pops and other sounds. That should be that's a good episode title, actually, for a different episode.
Well, maybe we can create a song like ding ding dong, bang, ding 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 ding.
Need to make the assistive technology song just made out of voiceover sounds and Mac and NVDA. Well, NVDA only has a few sounds, but so. When it comes to screen readers on Linux, most likely you're going to be using Orca. And yep. Orca is, it's funny how, I'll just kind of go into a very tiny little rabbit hole here. Orca was actually named, you know, from obviously the Orca whale, which JAWS, you know, job access with speech is what that stands for, by the way, for those who don't know. You know, JAWS had that logo of the shark. So let's just say this is pretty much the JAWS equivalent of a screen reader on Linux. And it actually works fairly similarly to like NVDA and JAWS. You know, you've got, you know, you've got a lot of the functionality. You can navigate websites by single letter like H for headings and all that. And it does have, you know, a nice little menu structure. It has this interesting way of kind of exploring a screen using like the number pad if you have it. It's I don't know, I haven't used it enough to really talk about it a whole lot, but it does also have what Kelvin calls the Pac-Man thing, and that is when you're dealing with a progress bar, you know, if you're installing something or if you're waiting on something to load, the cool thing with NVDA is it'll play a bunch of a rising tone that gets higher and higher as the progress bar gets higher and higher. Orca does that too. Now, the other thing that you are getting with all of these operating systems, I can't believe we didn't say this before. All of these do come with Braille support. Orca does have Braille support built in. I have tested it with the HIMS Braille Edge and it did work. So, you know, they have decent Braille support. You know, it's hit or miss depending on what you've got. Now, magnifier wise, there is a magnifier. I can't really test it.
Yeah.
But, if it magnifies and if it doesn't do anything crazy with the contrast of the desktop or if it doesn't overpronounce anything, I'd say it's a solid magnifier. And the other big thing for screen reader users out there is, of course, text-to-speech. And if you're using Orca, more than likely, you're going to be using what's called eSpeak. And eSpeak, if you've used NVDA, years ago, that was actually what NVDA used to use. It's kind of robotic sounding, but very clear and very responsive. But that's, as far as text-to-speech, kind of your only option nowadays. There was another synthesizer called Voxen, which is basically just Eloquence, but for Linux, but it's not being developed anymore and it's not the easiest to get your hands on. And so, you know, it is there. It is something I would recommend playing with. Now, as far as program availability too, I know we didn't mention this too much with like Chrome OS or Mac OS as much, but program availability, way different. They're as far if you want to play any like games out there, there are a few and more are being developed and will become available. I haven't actually played there. The only game I know of on Linux is like RS Games, which is a whole suite of card games. There's LibreOffice, which is like Microsoft Office, so you mm-hmm. could definitely do some productivity stuff. I have used Orca online with with Google Docs and all that, and it did work. And so what I'd like to really recommend to any computer, any tech lover out there, if you've wanted to try, you know, try Linux, use on your computer, get it in a virtual machine and just install it there, because it's, you know, it's not going to replace Windows, and you'll still have, you know, the ability to just kind of fool around and see what really fits, because like, honestly, Linux is one of those things where you really just need to figure out what works best for you. But one thing you don't need to figure out that works best for you is actually the sandwich of the week. I always go first. I feel like in these episodes, just because I'm the one gabbing in front of this mic. But I'm going to kind of switch it around a little bit this week. And I'm going to go with a wrap, a lettuce wrap from Mad Greens, because that's what I want for lunch. I hope I can get it. Oh, but I guess that counts as a sandwich, kind of. Well, you know, I've done plenty of burgers, so you know what? It's a sandwich. But a lettuce wrap with chicken and romaine lettuce, and maybe... I actually do like arugula. I don't know if arugula would be good on that, but and pickles and buffalo sauce. Whew, that would actually be wonderful. But what do you got for a sandwich of the week?
Well, my sandwich of the week is basically a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. I know I went Chick-fil-A last week, but I'm going Chick-fil-A again this week because that just sounds really good.
Well, it goes well with waffle fries.
It does.
That's their thing, Chick-fil-A's waffle fries. I love those things.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, we've covered, honestly, a lot in this episode, and there's a lot to digest. So we're actually going to wrap this up as part one of the operating system deep dive, because we haven't even talked about mobile operating systems. So we're going to save that for next week's episode. So yeah, join us next week. We have talked about, you know, iOS and Android and their goods and bads in the past, but we're going to dive even deeper into that. So yeah, join us next week. And of course, our Audio Trekkers hike is almost, gosh, two weeks out, actually, I think, as you're listening to this episode, on July 27th. And we really are ramping up our promotions here, and we want people to hike with us. It's also just fun. I don't know. I'm biased. I love hiking. but we want you guys to join us and become an audio trekker. And of course, join Team BLT. But of course, if you haven't registered and you would like to do that, you can go to aftersight.org/hike. And, of course, if you've got any questions, comments, feedback, whatever it might be, you can always email feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. With that being said, I'm your host, Devin Starnes, joined by Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.